Dear ones, welcome to worship today at St. Stephen's United Church. We really are thrilled that you can join us. Whoever you are, wherever you are welcome here. As you can see, it is a communion Sunday, so if you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, please go ahead and do that now. And please hear this land acknowledgement. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's say the call to worship together. Even though we wander in the wilderness, God is with us. Even when we forget his goodness, God is faithful. Even when we grumble about our lot in life, God reminds us that we are chosen. Even when we are forgetful of his teachings, God sends his advocate to guide us. In all things, God is faithful to his people. We come to worship our God, the three in one, who is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. And we light the Christ candle to celebrate his kingship and sovereignty and his presence here with us. Friends, let's join together in prayer. With gratitude spilling from our hearts, we come to worship you, Jehovah Jireh. Faithful God, you are our provider. We come to dwell in your word, to be reminded that you are always with us, that you are the giver of all good things. You are the bread of life. Lord, we hunger for you to fill us. Fill us today with love for others in the form of justice, kindness, service, and good works. During this time of worship today, may we be open to the teaching of your Holy Spirit to make us more and more into the image of our blessed Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We come now to the throne of grace. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe that there is enough to share. We question our ways when they differ from the world's ways. We rely on ourselves rather than looking to you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we go? Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the bread from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the word of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and you are loved into abundant life. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, will you join me now as together we confess our faith by saying the new creed?
We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 to 4 and 9 to 15 from the New International Version. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." And then over to verse 9. Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" When Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Those of you who were with us for worship last Sunday may be wondering why we've just heard a passage from the book of Exodus instead of something more from John's gospel. After all, when we heard our passage from John last week about Jesus feeding those 5,000 people, I did promise that we would go on to explore what came next. And we will get there. Next week, we will hear Jesus proclaim that he is the bread of life. And we'll spend a couple of weeks actually exploring what we think he might have meant by that. But honestly, before we go there, we actually need to prepare ourselves. You see, the people who were listening when Jesus made that claim, they would have quickly connected it to something from their collective memory, a memory we may not all share. If we really want to hear what Jesus is saying, we need to recall that memory. And as we hear him say, "I am the bread of life." Well, John has actually already given us a clue that tells us where that memory will come from. And it tells us also that that memory is important. You may or may not have caught this last week, but in that reading we had from John 6, there was what can seem to be a little throwaway detail. In verse 4, John explained that when Jesus fed those 5,000 people, the Jewish Passover festival was near. So as people received that miraculous bread that day, they would have been getting ready for Passover. It was the season, and so it was just in the air, in much the same way as Christmas is in the air for us during the months of November and December. And the fact that Jesus performed this particular miracle just as Passover was approaching, that was significant. And that's why John mentions it. But in order for us to understand why, we need to do some brushing up on a central part of the story of the Jewish people with God. And so we've returned to Exodus just for today to do exactly that. Well, you likely know this, but just in case you don't, or maybe have forgotten, the book of Exodus tells the story of how the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, escaped slavery in Egypt and began a journey that would end up taking them to the land that God had been promising to give them since the days of Abraham. Huge moments in Israel's history happened in the course of that, what would become a 40-year journey. And the book of Exodus covers a number of those big events. These were things that actually ended up shaping who the Israelites came to understand themselves to be. Even more, their experience of those things shaped their understanding of who God is and of how God is with them and for them. Well, in the worship life of the Jewish people, a great deal of focus is given to remembering the events of the Exodus and remembering how God saved them from slavery and sustained and shaped them throughout those 40 years and then led them to freedom in their new home. The whole thing is actually a central paradigm in the Jewish story. And it goes without saying that it is integral in the central paradigm in our Christian story as well. So if you are someone who's not particularly crazy about returning to the Old Testament, I really encourage you to reconsider this and to give it a try. Maybe come on out on Wednesdays in the fall when Bible study resumes as we make our way through Exodus. We are loving that study, and we are finding that it is really enriching our understanding of Jesus. In today's reading, we've heard about some events that happened just 6 weeks into that wilderness journey. So these were early days in that 40-year trek. At this point, the excitement about that dramatic escape through the Red Sea was probably starting to wear off a bit. Their food supplies were running low and people were getting hungry. And so they did what people do in situations like that. They started complaining that Moses had led them to this wilderness just to starve. Well, in their words, they were complaining about Moses and about his brother Aaron, the two men who were leading them. But in their hearts, those complaints were really about God. Well, despite what we sometimes think, even in the Old Testament, God was gracious. So instead of getting angry with the people for their grumbling, God told Moses to assure them that he would rain down enough bread for people to eat every day. And God gave them clear instructions to go out each morning, except on the Sabbath, and to collect what they needed for their families. And then, if that wasn't enough, God gave them another incredible gift of grace. The glorious presence of God came to them there in the wilderness and appeared before them in a cloud so that they would know that they weren't alone, that God had not left them to die in that desert. He was with them, and he knew their needs. Well, sure enough, the next morning, there it was, thin flakes of this mysterious substance covering the ground. They called it manna, which was actually just a word that meant, what is it? Moses explained that it was the bread the Lord had given them to eat. And sure enough, every day, they were able to take that manna that they'd collected and bake it into a bread that provided the nutrients they needed to sustain them throughout those 40 years of travels. Now, as God explained to Moses, that manna was about more than simply providing nutrition for the people. It was also a way that God was teaching them how important it would be for them to follow his instructions. If they did as he said, they would get to learn that they could actually trust God's leading, and that trust that he would be with them, and that he would provide what they needed each day. Well, in many ways, this, and much of what happened during those 40 years, was shaping the people. It was preparing them so that they were ready to live the life with God that they would experience when they got to that land he was leading them to. So manna became about much more than just food. Receiving and collecting manna every day effectively became a spiritual practice for them, a practice that would be, and still actually is, held up and remembered in the worship life of the Jewish people. During those 40 years in the wilderness, God actually instructed them a lot. And one of the things he had them do was build an ark, which was a beautiful wooden gold-layered box that they carried with them wherever they went. Inside the ark, they were instructed to put some very specific, very precious items, items that were meant to remind them of God's love and faithfulness to them. One of those items in the ark was a jar of manna. And eventually, when the temple was built in Jerusalem, the ark and the items it contained were placed in the holiest part of the temple, in the Holy of Holies, the very place where God promised them that his presence would rest with them. Still today, beyond the days of the temple, during the Seder dinner, which is the key dinner held during the festival of Passover, Jewish families remember and celebrate and proclaim their gratitude to God for saving them. And in the traditional words that are used every year in that dinner, manna is actually listed among the great moves of God on behalf of his people. It's right up there with safely getting them through the Red Sea, giving them the law, leading them to the promised land, and then eventually giving them the temple and the prophets. Every year during the festival of Passover, along with all of God's incredible gifts to them, Jewish families remember God's gracious and faithful provision of manna every day for those 40 years. So I hope this helps you to see why knowing all of this is so important as we hear about that day when Jesus blessed and distributed that bread that just kept coming and coming and coming until all 5,000 people were fed. Every Jewish person who was there that day would have thought about the manna. The manna through which they had learned that God heard them and God knew their needs. The manna through which they'd learned that God would faithfully provide everything they needed each day. The manna that had taught them that the best way to live is to listen to what God is saying and to trust it. The manna that showed them that it was God who would sustain them throughout their lives. The manna that taught them how important it is to be grateful to God for his grace, for his faithful provision, and for his unending and unconditional love and care. Manna reminded them of all of this. Manna that, in God's own words to Moses, was the bread of heaven for you. Well, friends, as we prepare to join Jesus at his table today, perhaps we come with some of those lessons from the manna in our minds. Perhaps we come with a sense of just how much this bread God provides for us has in it, how much meaning there is as we consume it. And perhaps we come in deep gratitude because this bread reminds us of all the ways that we have known God's love and God's care for us. Amen.
Long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength, help us cope in this world, wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world.
they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing.
Hello, please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Today, a portion of our prayers will be responsive. And when I say, Lord, in your mercy, please join me in the response, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear God, you call your people to prayer and praise in many ways. This day, bring us together, just as you called the people of Israel to gather manna in the desert to eat and sustain life. God of unity, give us this day our daily bread. Offer us the nutrients we need to remain connected to you. As spiritual beings, we desire to receive food that endures, faith, hope, and love. God of grace, give us this day our daily bread. All life is created and nourished by you. May we grow into new circles of understanding and being, reflecting the ways in which we have been touched by your holy manna. Holy Spirit, come. Give us this day our daily bread. God, like the Israelites in the wilderness, we too have known your love and experienced your care and compassion and provision. You call us to extend your love to the world around us, to care for others as deeply as we care for ourselves. As we bring the needs of our world before you now, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who do not have what they need in order to survive, those without enough food to eat or shelter to keep them warm, those without employment or enough money to pay their bills, those without access to medical care or medicine to keep them healthy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have more than enough to meet their needs, but who continue to feel empty inside, who struggle to find meaning and purpose in life, who turn to alcohol, drugs, or other destructive behaviors to try and hide the pain, who entertain thoughts of suicide. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are struggling physically, who are battling life-threatening disease or injury, who are living with chronic pain, who are coping with illness or facing death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of the first and the last, and all those in between, your grace reaches out to all of us, lifelong believers or newcomers alike. You call us to live as citizens of heaven, to work together with one mind and one purpose, to reach out in love to those in need. Strengthen us so that we might live in a manner worthy of the good news we have received, offering our lives to the building up of your upside-down kingdom, where the last are first and the first are last, and there is grace enough for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Friends, come. You are welcome at Jesus' table. The Lord be with you, and also with you. lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of light, giver of all life, source of love. You guide the sun, cradle the moon, and toss the stars. At your word, the earth was made and spun on its course among the planets. You breathe life into us and set us among all your creatures in a covenant of love and service. Even when we turn away from you, you do not forsake us. You send your prophets to proclaim your justice, to remind us of your promise of peace, and to call us back to you. Creator, Christ, and Spirit, we praise you for your love revealed to us in Jesus, who walks with us, our wisdom and our way, sharing our joy and sorrow, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and setting the captives free. So it is that we join the song of all creation to proclaim your goodness. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Mighty and tender God, in Jesus of Nazareth, we recognize the fullness of your grace, light, life, and love, revealed in words that confront and comfort us, in teachings that challenge and change us, in compassion that heals and frees us. And now we gather at this table to remember and to be filled with such longing for your realm that we may rise together to turn our worship into witness and to follow in your way. We remember that when Jesus ate with his friends, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup that is poured out for you is the promise of God made in my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember me." Loving God, we rejoice in the gift of your grace, remembering Christ's life and death, proclaiming his resurrection, and waiting in hope for his coming again. Grant that in praise and thanksgiving, we may so offer ourselves to you that our lives may proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Send, O God, your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who share in this loaf and cup may be the body of Christ, light, life, and love in the world. In this hope and as your people, we praise you through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. Amen. Friends, please join me as we pray together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to consume the elements in the places where you are today. And now, having eaten this bread, drank from the cup, and been nourished by God at this table of Christ. Will you join me in saying together our prayer after communion?
Eternal and gracious one, though we live in a world of need, here we have tasted your goodness and hungered for a world more just. Though afflicted by brokenness and division, here we have heard your call to be a people of healing community. Though daily we touch our limits, here we have received the fullness of your grace. Send us forth, O God, in faith, in hope, and in love. Amen.
Friends, we thank you for your tithes and offerings that come into the church and are used for the mission and ministries of God here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me now over the gifts given this week? Jesus, bread of life, you have set your table here today with your very self and called us to this feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and by us this week, and expand and transform it so that through its use you might work the miracle of bringing life to those in most need of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. Amen.
Of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord, and these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh, and these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise, and these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world, and we are your laborers in declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun as a trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation Jehovah. There is no God like 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 Jehovah.